Pastor. Mrs. Pastor, thank you. All right, good to be with you. Deuteronomy chapter 2. Thank you, Pastor Skelly, for your excellent admonition to us and very clear teaching from the Word of God. You can certainly get a lot of wisdom in church. It's not surprising that it's often in church God speaks to you about something very significant in your life. And He does do that. Now, He could do it elsewhere, but He just does it a lot in church. I was in that pew on my right, your left, the front pew sitting over there. It was about in the same place when God told me that I was to go to Thailand. So it's just right over there. And it happened in a church service. And it happened in a, you know, sort of a usual way in that I sort of felt moved in my heart. But a little bit, a few other unusual things happened, but that took place right over there. Now I suppose God could have done that anywhere. And He was certainly working on my heart. But it's often when you get in church that God picks that time to say something particular to you. And that's why you've got to be careful you don't get inoculated from church. You don't get sort of so used to it, you zone out. You know, you can be here but not be here, right? You can be singing a song, but you haven't got a clue what you're really singing. And when we have a meeting in Thailand, or whenever I have a meeting anywhere that I'm supposed to be leading in an earthly sense, I'm always watching everything that's going on. And I'll stand back, I'll watch our people, and I'll just watch what's going on. But it's the Holy Spirit who is doing that in our midst. And he's the one who is present here tonight. And He has ownership of it all. You know, He would say, Wayne, I started this church. You did. Wayne, I own these people. You do. Wayne, this Jesus that you've sung about just now, that's me. And He's watching all that we do. And I think He knows when we're tuned out and when we're tuned in. And He knows when we're just sort of saying things that maybe are not resonating with our heart. And it's just really important that you judge yourself in this thing. And I know I judge myself. I sit in church services sometimes, particularly when they're in another language, and my mind can wander. And I've had to pray many times, Lord, just help me, please. Because I can see I'm just going through the motions. And I know I'm sitting here, but Lord, I'm not feeling anything. And I don't think that's right. And I've had to pray that the Lord just kind of draw me back in and help me to break through that. So you never know what God is going to say to you in a church service. It could be something that you are sort of an answer or a word that you were hoping to hear, but sometimes it can just be something you are not expecting to hear. But when we gather like this and the Holy Spirit is here and the Word of God is preached, and we still ourselves, he often has significant things to say to us. These are not wasted hours. This is not wasted time. It's important. And I want to guarantee you something. When you do get with the Lord and you do have that judgment that we're reminded of, and you do see Him face to face, and earth is over, and faith has given way to sight. You don't have to believe anymore, you see. You see the Lord. Nobody's going to say, I think I went a little bit too far in me Christianity. No one's going to say, you know, I think I gave a bit too much. No one's going to say, I think I went to church a bit too much. And nobody's going to say that. So we need to grasp that now and be doing what the preacher said, using our life and listening to the things that God has told us while we can. You know, I'm starting to cough. One of the singers sat behind me and coughed for 5 minutes. You know how there can be a tool of the devil in the midst of the church? You know what I'm saying? And the devil tries to take you out one way or the other. You know what I'm saying? And I might as well just name him while we're here. But Deuteronomy chapter 2 is the retelling of the journey of God's people. And you've got to understand that these people had not yet taken possession of that which God had promised that they would have. So there are people without a mountain, without a land yet. They're going to get it, and God's promised it, and they're on the way. But as this takes place, they haven't fully realized that yet. And we're going to read just maybe 6 verses. I think in this, you will see some of your own life. And there's a lot of geography mentioned here, and I'm sure there's helpful things in studying the geography. I'm sure that's true. But what I would like to study is just not so much the geography, but just God. And I want you to just see the way that God worked with these people and in these few verses. And I think when you see what God did with them, you might see that that sounds a little bit familiar to my own journey. So let's read it, and then I'll walk you through it a little bit. It says, "Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spake unto me." And that's just to remind us that these people were not sort of plotting their own direction. It was orchestrated by God. So he was deciding which way they went. And he was deciding that knowing what they were going to see when they went that way. Well, there are other ways, but this was God's way. This is what he chose for them. And so it was as the Lord spake, we compassed Mount Seir many days. And the Lord spake unto me, saying, ye have compassed this mountain long enough, turn ye northward. And command thou the people, saying, ye are to pass through the coast of your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir. And they shall be afraid of you. Take ye good heed unto yourselves, therefore. Meddle not with them, for I will not give you of their land, no, not so much as a footbreadth, because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession. You shall buy meat of them for money, that ye may eat, and you shall also buy water of them for money, that ye may drink. Now, I won't read on, but if you were to follow the journey as it's being relayed here, they not only came across the descendants of Esau, but they also will come across, in verse number 8, the Moabites. And God says, similar thing there, don't distress them. Don't get into a fight with them. because I'm not going to give you their possession because, well, that has to do with Lot. And so here is a people that don't yet have what they want to have. And they're just being led of God on a journey, and God is planning the way that they would go. And I can imagine, you know, they're walking along and Moses says, I have an announcement from God just to tell everybody. And what he said is, we're about to come across, you know, ladies and gentlemen, on your left-hand side out the window, we're about to come across the Mount Seir, and God just wants you to know that when you see that mountain, that actually that's not yours. And further, he has me to tell you that he's actually given that to the descendants of Esau, and he knows that they'll be afraid of you. I mean, just how God sort of lay it all out, like he just knows everything about everybody. That they're going to be afraid of you, but listen to me really carefully. Don't try to take that, okay? Because it's not yours. And I've actually given it to them. And you won't even get one foot of it. So don't do it. And that's what God said. Now, I can imagine if I'm part of that group and I'm following God, and what am I even doing out here in the first place? I'm trying to get to the promised land, right? He told me he's got something for us. And he told me it's going to be really, really good. But I got to tell you, I'm getting weary of the walk. This has sort of been going on for a while. And do you ever hear the expression, any port in a storm? You know, I'm sort of getting to the place where, listen, how about that mountain? That one looks just fine. Why don't we just take that one? Well, you know, that's not really the promised land. Yeah, but it's here. And I'm here and it's here. And not only that, have you noticed when we look at those people, they're scared of us? Do you ever have anyone really scared of you? And you just sort of do this. And they kind of go. And you know you've got the upper hand. And they must have come to them, you know, that maybe we could just take this. But God is saying to them, that's not your mountain. Okay? And what's going to happen here is as you journey in your own walk with God, you're going to come across the fact that God is doing some things with some other people that you don't even understand. Now, I mean, my question would be, you know, God, we sort of lost track of these people for 400 years in Egypt. You know, we know sort of the story of what happened. It was passed down to us. But now you sort of, this is interesting. You know, we've come out and across the sea and we've had all these wanderings and oh, hello, here's the children of Esau. I mean, what's going on with that? And God just doesn't say. He just says, stay away from it, and it's not yours, and I've given it to them. And you know, you're going to come across some things as you go on your own walk with God that God is doing with other people that you don't understand. And by the way, you don't have to understand because that's not your mountain. And you're going to see some things and you won't understand it. And this might be just an astounding revelation to some, but God doesn't tell you everything, right? Because what he's found out already, when he just tells you about you, you struggle with that. So he doesn't need to tell you about everything else that's going on with everybody else. But we can be sure tonight, God is working in many places. There's a whole lot of things going on. And I only know what God's told me. You know, I don't fully understand the plan of God. You know, we think about America. America's a young country. I mean, over 6,000 years of history, America is just a really a baby country. And you know, this place is 300-400 years old, and they've sort of become a global power. But God has seen global powers come and go again and again for 6,000 years. I mean, it's nothing. And but I can tell you this, God raised that place up for a reason. I think about Australia. I think about the fact for, you know, so 250 years there was no European settlement here. And we acknowledge there were some people here, but I mean, it was just kind of a quiet, out of history sort of place, just sitting there. And now it's this sort of country, but it's really a young country. And, you know, you wonder, well, God, why do we even come to be? What's our part in this? Because God has a plan for all nations and all peoples and across the whole world. And there's just a lot of things we don't understand. We don't understand about that. God is working in different cultural groups in different places. And we don't know about all of that. You know, I think about God sending me to Thailand. I just have a feeling in my heart, and it seems to be like the Holy Spirit, but I just feel God has pity on those people. You know, as I live amongst the Thai people, I find mostly they just have a very gentle, generous, gentle spirit. That's what I see. And they're giving, they're mostly kind. But one thing I think, they're just like children. They live in a very simple way of looking at life. And I often look at them and I feel pity, and I think God just has pity. Now, I don't have to understand all that. I don't know all that's going on. What I just needed to understand is when God said, Brother Shemesh, you are to go to Thailand, I didn't need more explanation than that. But we're all part of things that God is doing, and I'm just saying that you're not going to understand everything that's going on. And you don't have to. You just have to know what you're supposed to do. So you know, I don't really understand this whole Esau thing. And I don't, you know, I really don't know why, and they have that and they're there and exactly what's going on with them. But, you know, really it doesn't matter, because I know I've just got to follow him, because he's told me where I'm going. And I don't understand about that, but I don't have to worry, because that's not my mountain. And you're gonna come across stuff like that. And you just need to be obedient to God's directives. And then God said, he said, you're going to see it, but don't meddle with it. All right? You're going to see other people that God is using, and God is working in something, some way. And here's what God says, don't meddle with that. You don't, this is going to shock you. But God doesn't channel everything in the world through independent Baptists. I mean, we are not sort of like the governors of all Christianity across the world. And you know, we have our part. I'm not belittling that. But I'm just saying there is stuff going on in other places. And God is doing things in other places. And I don't need to understand that, but I also need to not meddle with that and don't make a problem with that. Now, I remember when we went to Nakhon Sawan, I was certain God had called us to go and start a church in Nakhon Sawan. And I never doubted that. He affirmed it and affirmed it. It was very clear. And we made our way up there. And there was Suzanne and I. There was Joe and Di. And there was Dio and his wife. And so the six of us got up there, and we don't know where we're going to live. We don't know anything about the area. We didn't do any demographic studies or anything like that. I was just certain God had told us to go there. And so the first Sunday came around, and we weren't sure what we were going to do. Should we just have a little meeting in the house, or what should we do? And someone said that when they were driving around town, they're sure they saw like a little red cross painted on a window, looked like a shop, and there probably could have been a church there. And I said, well, let's go and have a look. And so that Sunday morning, we found that place. It was a tiny little shop, and you could see through the glass, and I would say there was about maybe 15 to 20 red plastic chairs just set up in there. And I wasn't exactly sure who they were, but it was Sunday morning. We didn't have anywhere to go. We're in Nakhon Sawan, you know, that's it. So we haven't yet started Nakhon Sawan Baptist. So we go in there, and it turns out it's a little Pentecostal group of believers. Well, there's a husband and a wife. And they come out, ties, and, you know, pleasant enough. And they tell me their story. He was a dentist working in Bangkok. And he married her, and they were going to a church. And they believe that God had told them to move to Nakhon Sawan and start this church. And now they were different to us. They said there's two services this morning. There'll be two preachings. Oh, okay. So we sat down. The first preaching was by the wife. So she came out, and I can see our people going. And the really sad part of all that was she preached better than her husband. And so you know, it was confusing because, you know, she actually said some things that weren't bad. And so I can hear the ties nuttering away, and as she's preaching, they're saying she should be in the army. And I can hear them saying that, and I'm shh. And so she's up there and she does her thing. And then he gets up and he does his thing. And okay, it's done. And then they tell me their story, and they're struggling. They're struggling. And I think, you know, I admire you because, you know, you're a dentist in Bangkok, and you would have made an okay amount of money, and you've given all of that up, and you're not us, and you don't exactly see things the way that that we do. Maybe how Warren Bale does. I'm not sure, but you don't exactly see things the way we do. The Lord just provoked me, stirred me to help those people for 2 or 3 weeks, and I didn't go back to church there anymore. It wasn't my place. And I don't know what was going on. And, you know, God didn't have a conference with me and say, Wayne, I'll just explain to you what I'm doing with every other person in Thailand, just so you understand that. I mean, I had no idea what was going on. I could see it. They were there. I dropped money around a couple of times. I dropped food around a couple of times, and that was it. All right, and you're gonna see some things that is not you. That's not your mountain. You don't really know what's going on. But what he said is, don't meddle with that. Don't start a fight over that. You don't have to do that. You're not them, and they're not you, and you just follow God. But God warned them, don't do it. Don't touch it. And you know, he could have steered them somewhere else. They could have gone away where they didn't even see all of that. But they were just learning something. They were learning God's doing things with other people, and I don't even know what all that means, but what he wants me to do is just follow what he's doing with me. And that's what he wants you to do. Okay, because here's what happens. He said, the Lord said, he said, now you can get some things from them as you pass through, right? You see that in verse number six. He said, you can get some meat and you can get some water as you pass through, and you pay for it, and then you just keep going. Now, the mistake that some people make is they think if you got something somewhere, you're meant to stop and stay there. And a lot of people get tricked that way, and they lose their way, because that's not your mountain. Yeah, but 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 I got something that you were meant to get something, but you were meant to keep going. You weren't meant to stop. You know, I got saved in a Pentecostal church. And, you know, some people just don't like that. They say I should have waited for the Baptist to come. But they still haven't come. They never got there. I wouldn't be here. You know, I'm sorry. But I'm not. You know what I'm saying? I'm not sorry because those people gave me the gospel. And was it, real, the gospel. Like how you'd give the gospel. Now, there was some other stuff there. And I'm grateful that I found Christ. And I'm grateful some people came and gave me the gospel. And I still remember those people and particularly the man who led me to Christ. I still esteem him as the one who God used to lead me to Christ. But you know what? It was never God's intent that I was to stay there. It was part of my journey. And I know I'm talking to others tonight. It was part of the journey. And you were there for a time. And you may have got something while you were there. And by the way, if you got something that truly was of God, you don't have to diminish that or slight that or change your own history. Okay? You can be mature enough to say, look, I'm thankful that I got this, but I can also see that wasn't where God had me to stay. And I remember clearly when God led me to out of that, I wasn't looking to go, but he just very clearly led me out of that. And I'm grateful for what I got, but that doesn't mean I'm meant to stay there. You know, someone goes and gets a blessing from somebody and then just, you know, abandons everything else they had and now they're over there. You know, just because you get something somewhere doesn't mean that's your mountain, right? Just because you stumble on God somewhere else doesn't mean I just got to go there, right? No, you're meant to be where you are. You're meant to follow the will of God for you. You're meant to let God lead you to what he has for you. And you say, well, Brother Shemesh, you know, I think God works in other places. Well, I do too. But that's nothing to do with me. What I need to do is what God wants me to do. Now, I'm not going to meddle with it. I'm not going to hinder it. He said, you're going to come across the Moabites, the descendants of Lot, but don't fight them. You don't need to do that. And there's just some wisdom here about walking with God and having some maturity about the stuff you're going to see along the way, but being settled in your heart who you are and where you belong and what God has got for you in your life, okay? It's hard. It was hard for these people because they didn't have what they were waiting to get. Okay, so I'm speaking to some people tonight who are wanting something and what you want is a legitimate, okay desire. You are not wrong in wanting what you want. Okay, that's not wrong. But you don't have it yet. Okay, the danger for you is this. Because you want that and you don't have it yet, the danger is you'll take something that you're not meant to have. Okay, so I'm talking about, I remember when I was a teen, I told you a little bit about my home situation, how difficult it was. There was a family who lived a couple of blocks away from where I lived, and I met them, and there was a mum and dad, and they had three kids, a boy and two girls, and the middle girl was the same age as me. And that family for me just became a refuge when things got really rough at home. And many times I would just arrive there at 11 o'clock at night. I'd go on my push bike and I couldn't just bear to be at home with all that was going on anymore. And I'd just sleep on the couch in their house. And those people were a great blessing to me. Now they had a girl there who was a similar age to me, and her mum and dad, they liked me, and I might be so bold as to say that she liked me, but I mean, who doesn't? And, so that was there. And I could tell there was a bit of thinking going on there that, well, you know, maybe, you know, he's this age and she's this age. And that wasn't my mountain. Suzanne was my mountain. Don't laugh about that. She don't think any, I wasn't talking. No, she. No, it wasn't. It was Suzanne. All right. Now here would have been the danger. If I had taken the wrong thing, I probably would not be here tonight. If I had grabbed something, listen to me. If I'd grabbed something out of desperation because I had nothing, I may have made a mistake that would have fatally wounded my life and what God was trying to do with me. All right, so we had Miss Patty. Miss Fisher came over for lunch yesterday, and Suzanne and I were talking with her, and I was asking about her early days where she grew up and her family. She was a very interesting story, things I didn't know. She told me about one of her grandparents was a cameraman in Hollywood back way back when, you know, in that time, and just different stories. And as we were relating it, she told the story to Suzanne and I and about having somebody that she believed she loved and was important to her, and how when that relationship did not go to where she thought it would go, just how heartbroken and hurt she was. Now, this is, you know, we're talking decades ago. And I'm listening to that, and at that moment, it felt like, what happened? You know, what happened? Am I speaking to someone tonight? You know, what happened? You know, like, I thought that was it. And the despair and the sorrow when that doesn't work out. But God had somebody else for her in Brother Fisher. And God had chosen something for her that was not in the other place. It was over here. And you have to discern and be able to come across some things and accept the fact that's not my mountain. That's not what I do. By the way, the call of God on your life. You're going to do some different things to other people. Okay, because what you do is different does not mean what you do is of any less value. Right? You might see someone else and maybe they get more attention than you get. And maybe they're more recognized than you are. But that does not diminish what God gave you. Okay? You're in your place. And if you're in the place that God led you to, that's your mountain, that's your place, that's the best place. That's where you're meant to be. And the danger is, for all of us, sometimes if you feel like you're lacking something or wanting something, you can reach out and grab the wrong thing. And you do that because you just want something now. I've seen preachers lose their way in a moment of, they're sailing the sailboat of the church, and it just seems like they get caught in a still wind. There's just nothing. It just goes dormant. And they desire the church to be doing well and be doing better and to see more. And that's a dangerous time, because sometimes they start looking for things and reaching out to things that God did not want them to have. And the answer was never that mountain. And it only is attractive to you because right now you don't feel like you have what you have. And you need to understand that. And what God was just doing here in a simple way was just leading these people through and just teaching them a few lessons. Let me show you something here in Mark chapter number 9. Mark chapter 9 and verse 38. John is talking to the Lord. It says, and John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one. What did you see? We saw one casting out devils in thy name. And he followeth not us. And we forbade him because he followeth not us. But Jesus said, forbid him not. No, John. No, Lord, we just want you to know we came across one of them. And he was doing it. Like casting out devils in your name. And he wasn't following us. So when we saw that, we fixed it up. Yep, we forbade him. You know, we told him, don't you try that. You better not. And the Lord said, don't do that. Don't do that. See, John was saying, I came across something that we were not in control of, and they were not under us, and they were just out there doing this thing. So because it wasn't under us and because he didn't follow us, well, I just stepped in and stopped it for you. And Jesus said, don't do that. Now, you say, who were those people? I don't know. Well, you know, let's guess. I don't know. I don't know who they were. But they were someone, and they were doing something, and they were doing it in Jesus' name. And what I take away from this was the Lord was not troubled about it and just said, don't do that. And I think that was a revelation to them. Listen, you guys are special, and I'm working with you. And you know, just keep your eyes on me. But yeah, there is other stuff going on, but you don't need to worry about that. You don't need to worry about that. You just need to follow the Lord and do what he wants you to do. And I don't pay too much attention to what other things are going on. I've just learned not to do that. And I don't try to answer everything about everything for everybody because I just don't know. But I'm really okay with that because the Lord knows. I have enough to do in what God has asked me to do. Amen? I mean, I'm not getting it all done. I'm busy. I just in the little area I work, there's hundreds of thousands of people who've never heard the gospel. I mean, I come across it all the time. You know, someone will say to me, did you hear about that church that, no, I didn't. Well, do you want to? Well, not really, unless you want to tell me, but I don't really need to know that. You know, you're against them? No, I'm not. I don't even know who they are. Listen, I'm not God. And hello, okay, take a breath. You're not God. No, I mean, you're not God. And I'm not the Lord of Thailand. I'm not the Lord of Thailand. I've had preachers say to me, do you know about so-and-so? No. Well, surely you've heard of so-and-so? No. Well, how is it you haven't heard of all that? Oh, I'm working. Because I'm doing the work of God. See, I don't need to know about all that. I'm going to run my course. I'm going to follow the Lord. Okay, I'm going to get to my own mountain. And when you get to your own mountain, you'll have your own work to do. But as for what's going on in the other areas, brethren, peace be to you. Just leave it alone. You know, the Lord will judge all these things. And you don't have to meddle with everything. And you don't want to have to fight everybody. Just get on with what God would have you to do. And let me say as I close, look, if you're one of the people And there are some, and I'm being very sincere. And you don't have yet what you're waiting for. Don't take the wrong thing because right now you don't have anything. Don't do that. Don't forfeit the blessing of what God has for you by reaching out in impatience or feeling like you just got to grab something. That would be a terrible, terrible mistake. And they were going somewhere and they're on their way and they did get there, and I guess he could have steered them another way, but I just think God said, well, let's have a lesson in this as well. So let's just do this. You know, he even told them, they're going to be afraid of you. I mean, how tempting would that be? Did you hear what he said? Yeah, I got that. He said they'll probably run off anyway. I don't know about you, but I'm sick of walking all this way. And let's face it, that's not a bad mountain. You know, be tempting. And God said, I know it's tempting. Don't do it. Because I won't give it to you. And never try to take something God is not giving. Because here's the worst thing that can happen. You might get it. Don't take it if God's not giving it. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we are a blessed people, and we know. Truly, Lord, you have been good, good, good in every way toward us. Lord, thank you. Thank you for that which you've given us, and thank you when you did not give. Thank you, Lord, when you led us another way. Thank you, Lord, for that which you gave, and Lord, thank you for that which you've withheld. And I pray tonight that this people of God might be wise and that we will learn your ways. And I pray, Lord, that we would just humble ourselves and remember who we are. And, Lord, remember who you are and not get confused about those things. Lord, we trust you. We believe in you. We know that whatever your plans are, they are best and they are good. Lord, help us to follow the leading in our own lives. Lord, help us to be patient. Help those tonight, Lord, who are just wondering, when do I get my mountain? When do I get that? God, would you just give them grace to continue in the journey? And in the right time, Lord, bestow upon them the blessings that you've already set aside for these. Thank you for the good message we heard, Lord, tonight from you, but preached by Pastor Skelly. Lord, what a sober reminder. Lord, how often I wish I'd listened better when I was younger. Lord, I'm sorry for the times I did not listen. And, Lord, there's been times I think I pierced myself through with sorrows. Lord, would you help the young tonight to listen? Lord, would you give them wisdom beyond their years? And would you burn in our hearts and our souls the Word of God and the truths that we've heard tonight? Bless us. I pray, Lord, for every preacher, for every missionary here tonight. Lord, my request is that you would grant an increased wisdom that would come upon each of these even now. I pray, Lord, that supernaturally you would gift an increased wisdom, an increased understanding, and help them as they journey for you in the sincerity of their heart. God, bless each church represented. Bless each work as we approach the end of the week. Many of us will be returning to that which awaits us. And Lord, we pray that we would go in the strength of these admonitions that we've heard from you. And we ask in Jesus' name.